الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, from Ramadan till Bakra Eid is approximately 70 days. Shawwal, Dhulqa'dah, and the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are about the most virtuous days in the entire Islamic year, the most virtuous nights are the 10 nights of Ramadan, last 10 nights of Ramadan, but the most virtuous days are the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. That the fasting of Dhul-Hijjah, 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, brings you the reward of 2 years of fasting, the past year and the next year. The whole program starts from Ramadan. So Ramadan is like a detox. Throughout the year, we got ourselves involved in some things, sometimes revert, sometimes backbiting, gossiping, viewing things that we're not supposed to be viewing. So a lot of things we've got ourselves involved in. But Allah doesn't want to punish us. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. He wants to bless us, but are there any takers? So he's got this month of Ramadan as a detox. So whatever wrong that has taken place throughout the year, that you cleanse yourself with this 30 sessions of detoxing. Detox yourself correctly. And with that, an added excellence of beauty is you got yourself detoxed, right? Then the nights are not going wasted. The nights you are reciting the Quran Sharif yourself, or the Imam is reciting it and you are listening to the Quran. So the day you are fasting and the night is spent in namaz, right? And I wonder about this whole thing. You stayed hungry the whole day and you still got the energy and you still energized to stand for the 20 rakats. Where that energy came from? Not from energite. It's that divine strength that you fasted for Allah Ta'ala. He gives you the energy that now you stand up in Taraweeh. Then you see youngsters nowadays, someone is performing 3 siparas every night. Where he's got the energy from? It's mind-boggling. Someone is performing in 3 nights. So the whole month is buzzing like this. Then It is customary amongst most people that they wish to discharge the zakat in this very month, that is the month of Ramadan. The reward escalates obviously. So as though there was a detox on your physical self and on your spiritual self, purify yourself. But you have got some baggage also, and now you are on your way to the house of the beloved. Right? You are on your way to the house of the one that is bestowed upon you in millions and trillions of favors. The one whose favors are so numerous that you can't even count them. وَأَزْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ وَظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. And he favored you so much on the outside, you can see your physical self, and within you, your organs, and you don't even know that these are the benefits that you are enjoying all the time. The father doesn't know about it, the mother doesn't know about it, but the individual is benefiting, his lungs are functioning, the respiratory system is right, digestion is going on very well, right? And there is no such a thing like you're getting an indigestion. Everything is working very well. And your role in this entire story was very minimal. And your role was just enjoyment. So when you look at that food, that morsel that you take, right? So it is, your work was only from the mouth to the throat, right? And all that was just enjoyment. Anything else, braai or the coke, whatever it was, but your work was just enjoyment. From there onwards, right till the food is digested correctly, and then there's a passage for the waste to be thrown out, there's a passage for that food to be digested and redigested, and then converted into blood, and the blood into energy, and then passed to the entire body. Do you know that this is happening? We don't even know. But it's happening. Right? From that point onwards, it was just Allah Pak's work, nobody else. Not you, not your father, not anybody. It was just Allah Pak that did all that. أَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. He had not bestowed, he had poured his favors, both outwardly and inwardly. Then he's extended an invitation to the house of love, to the kingdom of love. So he wants you to be absolutely pure and clean. So he's given you an opportunity, Ramadan, right? So to come clean, cleanse yourself, take this detox and cleanse yourself correctly. So the day is done nice. The nights are spent in Taraweeh, right? Then getting up for Sari, performing some tahajjud namaz, right? The person that didn't perform tahajjud, he's also performing tahajjud in the month of Ramadan. Right? But Allah Pak wants that you be totally pure, totally purified, right? So he says, see your baggages, I need that also to be purified. So you discharge your zakat, right? The fitrah and the zakat, you do that as well. So the baggages that you're carrying also have been purified. Otherwise, imagine you're going to the, getting married, right? And you're going to your bride, and you're going with the bride with a bag of rotten eggs. Is that appreciated? So the sin in the sight of Allah Ta'ala is worse than the rotten eggs. And that meat that is decaying and got a heavy stench. Right? So that sin that we are involved is worse than all that. So both physically, spiritually and outwardly, we are absolutely pure. And the sins that we have committed with the eyes, and unfortunately we don't even consider the wrong to be wrong any longer. And really when I look at it, the kindness and the compassion of Allah Ta'ala, all He wants except the wrong. Allah Pak speaks about Yunus alayhi salam and various other Anbiya alayhi salam, And they are stories for us to reflect, not for entertainment purposes. The stories of Musa al-Islam is written approximately 29 times in the Quran. For what? If it was just for entertainment, one time it was sufficient. But it's repeatedly 29 times. That you read it, reflect, understand, apply yourselves. So Allah speaks about Hazrat Yunus al-Islam. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. So he says, the fish had swallowed him, and وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ, he was blaming himself. So the story of Yunus al-Islam is that you must understand the law by Allah Ta'ala. The law is Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. As you come closer to Allah Ta'ala, then you have to become even more careful. Then you can't take things for granted and insignificant. No, no. You have to become even more careful. He was a little child, 3 years or 2 years of age. Father wanted some water, so he dropped half on the road, and he brought half. The father would pat him, "My bachu, my darling, what a great thing you have done," pat him, all that, right? But now the child is 22 years of age. If he drops, then the father would reprimand him, "Where's your eyes? Can't see." But the same thing was done by the child, and you complimented him. And here, man is getting reprimanded. So why? Hasanatul Abrar, Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. As you're coming closer, your understanding is improving. You're gaining the proximity of Allah Ta'ala, then you can't take things for granted and now realize what you're doing. So Yunus al-Islam had worked with these people, with this community for a long period. They persisted on their disbelief, their defiance, their denial. And then he warned them, see, you people are inviting a disaster problem for yourselves. Within 3 days, you don't straighten up and you're going to catch it. Right? And saying this, he was so disgusted with his people that he left the town. So the law with Allah Ta'ala is different with the Anbiya. The Anbiya don't only have to do the right thing, but their movements also must be divinely guided. So his being disgusted with their behavior was a righteous thing. Obviously, in kufr, disbelief. So to disgust that was a righteous thing. And to leave the town with his kufr, etc., that's also right. Prophet Muhammad said, "Inni muhajirun ila Rabbi." You people are steeped in disbelief here, and you want me to live with you, I'm moving away from here. "Inni zahibun ila Rabbi." I'm going away. But that Nabi is required to only leave as per divine order. When the instruction comes from Allah Ta'ala, then he's supposed to be leaving. He can't be leaving before that. But by now, Yunus alayhi salam was really disgusted with these people, and in that heat of that disgust, he left. And he saw a ship at the port. He boarded the ship. Right? We know the story after that. So here the fish swallows him. وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ, but he was blaming himself. You see, now that's the first point for acceptance. We want our rozas, our qurbani, our zakat, we want everything to be accepted. But the first point is admission. And you are in denial, you're not admitting, not acknowledging, then there's no road for progress. So the first point, the first level is admission. So being a Nabi, he understood exactly that I have committed a wrong. My movement was without divine permission, divine authorization. So I made a mistake. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. Allah Pak likes that person who acknowledges. Now that's become the order of the day. We do a wrong, and then somehow or the other going to justify. No, that was my niyat. I got a phone, but with this intention I've got the phone. But you know, and Allah Pak knows, the wrong that happens on the phone as well. You know, right? You say, you know, got a good reason, can't do business without it. So, we will not look into that. But look within yourself and you retrospect between you and Allah Ta'ala. How many wrongs take place? And how many times we justifying the wrong that we are doing? Sometimes someone is looking at a video and then they'll just give it a glossy look. So, you know, it's a documentary. It looks very important. Something like, you're doing something very important. It's not just a pastime, a documentary, something about education. So by giving it a good look, that number two will remain number two. Call it number two, call it feces, call it excreta, whatever. But it's not going to change by changing the name. The filth will remain filth. So, Yunus alayhi salam, he's blaming himself. So Allah Pak says that فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. And in that state, he began to recite that tasbih, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Now he's وَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. He's right in the layers of darkness. Imagine the sea covered in darkness, right? ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْدُهَا فُقَبَاتٌ. Layers of darkness. Then he's within the fish, is another darkness, right? Then inside the stomach is a third layer of darkness. Zulumatum ba'duha fawqaba, so dark. But in that state also, he didn't forget Allah Ta'ala. Lawla annahu kana min al-musabbihin. He did not glorify us. What is the meaning of he did not glorify us? In other words, he acknowledged before Allah Ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala, you are without fault and blemish. You are spotless. You are above all limitations. We have got limitations. We have got weaknesses. And you are pure from all type of limitations and all type of weaknesses. You are pure above that. Right? And I am wrong. Inni kuntu mina zalimin. I have got limitations. I have got faults. So I ask you for forgiveness. So when he did this, and then فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمْ. And we accepted him and we saved him from the distress that he was in. So, in this Mubarak months, right, we want, all of us want, for ourselves, our families, our dependents, our elders, right? We want a safe route to the next world, right? And that safe route requires two things. One is that this must be an admission of guilt. You don't have to make the admission of guilt in the presence of people. If that fault, the wrong wasn't done amongst people, then you don't have to go and make an admission of guilt in the presence of people. But if it was that the wrong was done in a crowd amongst people, he's done a wrong, and he's done the wrong amongst people. For example, he was flirting or dancing with a girl, or he took wine in public, then he needs to also retract and make toba in public. Brothers, I was wrong. I did this. I'm very remorseful for what I've done. I've done it in public. So, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ تَابُوا وَأَصْلَحُوا وَبَيَّنُوا. Make toba. You corrected yourself and you expounded. You didn't keep it concealed. Otherwise, there may be a possibility that you were doing a wrong and you didn't make a public retraction that. And people felt that, no, this was right because so-and-so did it, so it's right. You're viewing something wrong, right? You're viewing it wrong, and in public you are doing it. So your children think to themselves that our Abba is not wrong, you know. Our Abba is always right. So what he did was right. So don't you owe an apology to them, retraction, that I've done this, it's wrong, and I make toba in your presence that I won't do this again. So whatever the occasion requires, that is jaza'u sayyi'atin sayyi'atun misluha. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib, he translates this, jaisa mel vaisa sabun. Jaisa mel vaisa sabun. If it's a simple dirt or a soil, right, put it under the tap, squeeze it, comes clean. But if it's a stubborn stain, then you have to use something very strong, a jig or something, to get the stain out, right? So jaisa mil, vaisa sabun. The toba and the recompense is proportionate to the wrong that you have done. What wrong you have done, then toba must be done like that. I robbed the person, fraud, and do something wrong, right? Now I can't just make toba and say, no, I made toba, but Allah Ta'ala, everything is forgiven. Right? Do it like how Allah wants it, not like how you want it. The mistake that we are doing, many of us are doing, is we are applying our own brains, our own understanding in the works of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So work of Allah ta'ala, if you're wrong, or you are doing something, then find out, inquire. Is this the right way, or is it the wrong way? You don't want to take a chance. So you find out exactly, is it the right thing I'm doing, or is it the wrong thing that I'm doing? Otherwise, you get people now, I'm just admiring that girl for the beauty Allah Pak has blessed her. But now see, you're covering up for the fault and you feel that you did something great. That Allah Pak's beauty I'm admiring. And you got a story. Everybody got a story today for the wrong that he's doing. Doesn't realize that he's going deeper into the hole. So, jaisa mel, vaisa sabun. The type of wrong that you're doing, then proportionate type of detergents must be used to cleanse yourself. So Allah Pak speaks about Yunus alayhi salam and the whole procedure. So for that, obviously, some level of humility is required. Imagine the person doesn't have humility. Can he go down on his knees and ask for forgiveness? He can't. Right. We're talking of surah, we spoke about Yunus alayhi salam, and all these stories, you get about 8 or 7 stories of the Anbiya in Surah Sad, right? So it starts off, بَلِلْ لَذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي عِزَّةٍ وَشِقَاقٍ. The kafirs are steeped in self-glory, in arrogance, and in a path of opposition. Right? So when was this verse revealed? The verse was revealed when Abu Talib was at his end. You can see now his days are numbered. He's coming to the end, right? So Abu Jahl, Aas ibn Wail, and the hierarchy of the Quraysh, they are thinking to themselves that if we go and stop Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Abu Talib is gone, then that's going to be a blow against our integrity. That whilst the uncle was around, then you couldn't do anything. But now the uncle is gone, so you're taking advantage over this poor soul. So that will be now working against our integrity. So let's go now and sort this out for once and for all. Go to him and get this stopped, right? So they went up to Abu Talib and they spoke to him. See, he can carry on his way, whatever he wants, but he mustn't pick out on our gods, our idols. And the Anbiya alayhi salam, we're not people to insult, we're not people to ridicule, we're not that purpose. But they'll tell you the truth. The truth as it were, they will tell you that you can't worship rocks that you carved of your own hands, which cannot hear, they cannot do you any good and harm. So how can you worship such a thing? So that's all the Anbiya will say. They will not ridicule, they will not insult. That's not the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam. But this also was too much for them. They wanted something like an interfaith. You're doing everything, Ram Ram is also alright, Rahman Rahman is also alright, under one roof, is going to do it. So they wanted something like that. And they presented the case to Abu Talib, Rasulullah Paksam was called, and Abu Talib also agreed with these people, that see, they're not asking for something ridiculous, this is what they want, all they want. So just agree with them, and everything would be normalized. There will be no reason for any type of hatred, any malice, right? There'll be a Makkah full of peace, embracing people, passing the message of peace and love, right? So that was the message of Abu Talib. Rasulullah heard the suggestion of Abu Talib, and he says, my dear uncle, I want to just present one message to them. If they accept this message, the Arabs will accept him and the non-Arabs will pay tribute to him. So Abu Jahl spoke out and he says, if that's the case, then just not just one message, 10 messages will listen to. So Nabi Sallam said, my message is, Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So they said, no, that can't happen. See? So they want that type of mind that everything must work together. Everything, kafir, haram, halal, everything must be together. Now, how can that work? Our kalima starts off with nafi and then isbat. You know, first you negate and then you confirm. Not only confirmation, but a negation and a confirmation. Right? And in every faraz namaz, in every witr namaz, we boldly make an announcement to Allah Ta'ala. We say, وَنَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَيَفْجُرُكُ. We just break away. نَخْلَعُ وَنَتْرُكُ مَيَفْجُرُكُ. We break away from those people that defy you, that are disobedient to you. We break away from them. And now come out of the masjid, and then the same people are doing haram, halal, kafir, Muslim, mushrik, everybody, and we are buddies with each other. Here you made a promise that we break away from them. And here, out of the masjid, you go back on your promises that you made to Allah Ta'ala. I say, is that honesty? And it's such a simple thing, such a common thing, you know, that you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this. There are some things that you will also disagree with. If you're a young child, 17, 15 years of age, he's hanging around with druggers, right? Druggers and robbers, etc. So are you going to sanction that? And you say, no, but Allah, you know, you must promote the message of peace, must be kind, must be loving, interfaith, and, you know, Abrahamic, all that. So if that child is going to give you that message, you say, well, you tell the son, I'll explain to you 2 times. After that, I understand, my roof, my rules. Won't you say that? So then, when it amounts to your personal integrity, then you are very emotional. You don't want to bend the rules when it's your own. And when it is the law of Allah Ta'ala, they say, now we can bend the rules, let's make a plan, let's make it happen. I say, are we being fair and just? So the right thing is, we made a mistake, we say, Allah Ta'ala, I made a mistake. Say, Yunus alayhi salam, and how he's saying it, لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَّبِّينَ. He asked her. He blamed himself. He accepted the mistake. And then Allah Pak says, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ. We saved him from all that distress. But such a simple procedure. And now they can't accept it. You look at Shaitan, look at Fir'aun, you look at Abu Talib, the common mistake was this. There was one mistake. Shaitan said, Ana khair. He doesn't want to bow down, he doesn't want to humble himself. Allah Pak is correcting him. Ma mana'aka an tasjuda lima khalaqtu bi yadayya. And what he says, Ana khair. I am superior. And Allah Pak is supposed to be the other way around. So he didn't want to bow himself, he didn't want to lower himself. Fir'aun, same mistake. Amana khairum min hadha alladhi huwa mahin wa la yakadu yubin falawla ulqiya alayhi aswiratun min dhahabin aw jaa'a ma'ahu malaikatu muqtarin. Am I not better than this despicable wretch? Referring to Musa alayhi salam. Amana khayrun min hadha wa la yakadu yubin. He can't even speak eloquently. Am I not better than him? See, he is not seeing who is the one that's appointed Musa alayhi salam. Shaitan is not watching this command, who is it coming from? Right. And the same wrong in Abu Talib also, same wrong. So on the one side, he's got his people's respect, he's got their support, right? So the whole town respects him, the whole Makkah Mukarrama respects him. And now you see, if he's going to go with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he fears within himself that I'm going to join up with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the popularity of the town, the respect of the town will go. I will lose this. I'm a popular person, I'm the leader, I'm the person that they look upon to, right? And I will just lose this. So Allah Pak came second place and he lost it. Though he supported Islam and will recognize the good he's done, but then integrity, see, publicity, pride, arrogance, that comes and blocks the way. So this is the line that all these people quoted. Talk of Musa alayhi salam, Fir'aun, talk of Shaitan, Adam alayhi salam, talk of Abu Talib, that is the line. And if we can only come to our senses, we come back to the original Islam, pure, undiluted. Munafa, that's what it means, undiluted. Not something that is contaminated and adulterated, pure. Allah Pak wants it like that. Don't give your own explanations and don't justify, don't make stories to cover up for the wrong. I made a mistake, I'm deeply regretful and I won't do this again. Allah Pak likes that. Even if you can correct yourself straight away, but the fact is that there was an admission of guilt. And this thing is such a common thing, You know, you've got two workers in your shop, right? And both came with a little bit of a delay. So the one says, you know, boss, I'm very regretful. Conceal, you know, make maaf now. I made, you know, you're so good to me, so kind to me. And I terribly messed up, right? I'm very, very regretful and I won't do this. The other one says, boss, but you know, I'm a human being like you, yourself. If I came with a delay, you also come with a delay now and then. You make mistakes, I make mistakes. You know, so you must accept our mistakes. Learn to accept. No, that was in denial. And he's talking in a dune. He's covering up. He's in denial. He's trying to justify. I ask you, who will the boss look at favorably? The one that is in denial or the one that is humble and accepting?